Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, we're going to try that once more. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, hey, it's glad to have you all here this morning. My name is Caleb, and I'm one of the pastors here. And so we have been looking at our vision, mission, and core commitments the last couple weeks, and we're going to continue in that this week. But before we jump in, I would just love to review these with you. And so we're going to say the vision and then the mission together, and then I'll go through the core commitments. So if you would, just read with me the vision, which is to magnify Jesus in River Falls and to the ends of the earth. And then we're going to do mission to glorify God by making joyful, passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. And then we have the first symbol up here is worship. We worship because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done. We have here connect, which we're going to talk about today, which is to connect with one another authentically. And then we have grow to know God deeply, and then go, show, and tell the gospel boldly. And so if we say it quickly, which we won't do right now, it's worship, connect, grow, go. And so just to burn this into your brains, because as we're going through this, we want to know what we're about as a church. So worship. All right, we're trying that again. This is involvement together. Here we go. Worship. Connect. Grow. Go. Fantastic. You guys are awesome. We're going to get better at that. But we only have two more weeks, so just be prepared for next week. But hey, really, this is what we want to be about as a church. We want to be about Jesus, ultimately making his name magnified, making much of him. And we do that as we make joyful, passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. And we feel like these four core commitments are just really the basics of Christianity. If we do these four things, I can't necessarily guarantee, but I feel like I can, that God promises that we will be joyful, passionate disciples as we do these things. And so this morning we're looking at connect with one another authentically. And our passage will be Acts 2, 42 through 47. And so if you have your Bibles, open up there if you haven't already. But we're going to be looking at this passage together. And so we're going to look at this and we're going to kind of just jump into it this morning. But before we do, would you just pray with me? Once again, Lord God, I thank you for this time that we have, Lord God, that you build into our lives and you desire for us to have rhythms of life that lead us to worship you. And this morning is a part of that. So, Lord God, I pray that you would begin to just this morning, no matter where we come from, just work in our hearts right now. I feel like for many of us, we come in here and there's so much going on in life and we're just distracted. I pray that this would be a moment to just rest, to hear your word, to be convicted and encouraged where we need to be convicted and encouraged. But Lord God, ultimately, that through all of this, Lord God, we would come in here this morning just prepared to hear from you and to have our hearts, our lives transformed and changed, that we can enter into the rest that is only available through Christ. And so help us in that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I just want to read this again, because this is really an incredible picture of really the start of the church. And so listen to these words once again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they're selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as they had need, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I think this is just an incredible description of community. And I think this is a community we all look at and we're like, we want that, right? We long for that. Because if we're just honest for a little bit, I just want to destroy our world that we live in just a little bit, right? The world that we occupy. Because we live in a world where connecting with one another means what? What does it mean? It means we go on social media or we just send a text, right? It's kind of this obscure, kind of like, I don't really need to be in your life, but I'll kind of throw this nicety towards your way, right? We don't really know what it means to connect with one another at this level, but we long for it. We long for it. And social media, I don't want to kind of say it's worthless in a sense, but really it can be a helpful and powerful tool. But really at the end of the day, if we're just honest, it's really kind of a facade of community. And people put up their facades of what they want others to see. And maybe to help illustrate this is kind of like if you have a friend overseas, right? You keep up with them, you send them texts, or maybe you send them Marco Polos, or maybe even you Zoom with them quite a bit. And I don't want to diminish the value of that relationship, but how much more incredible, how much more like do you long for, and how much more would your better would your interaction be and just joyful would it be if they were with you, present with you? How much more joy would you have? Because ultimately we long, we were made to be together. And many studies have concluded, and even Facebook itself did an internal study concluding Instagram to be toxic for teens, right? It just doesn't fulfill, it's a facade. And let's be honest, all of social media is probably at a certain level toxic for us all, right? If we're just honest, you just get stuck in the like scrolling through and then you're like, why isn't my life that great? Well, no one's life is that great. And here's the reality, it's no substitute. It's no substitute. Because you can have millions of followers, you can have millions of friends. And I just think many of them are the loneliest people in this world. You see, we long for authentic community, and we need it. I mean, the CDC, if you look at the research that has been done on the effects of isolation over the last year and a half, is crazy. There's twofold, threefold, five times increases in loneliness, depression, substance abuse, domestic abuse, mental health issues, murders, suicides, and on we could go of the social ills that result when we isolate, when we have no authentic community. And so we long for it, we need it, because ultimately we know that we were created for it. You see, God said it is not good for man to be alone. And that phrase doesn't just extend to Adam in the beginning, it extends to all of us. Because the thing is we're all made spiritual, physical beings, which means we are people who embody a body and we embody a space. And so as a community, we embody this space together. And so we long for it, we need it, and we are created to connect with one another authentically. And I think we all desire this deeply, if we're just honest with ourselves. And what we see is this kind of community, this deep sense of authentic community that we see here that's pictured before us, ultimately can result and only come from the gospel. Because right before this passage, what we see is Peter preaches the gospel, right? And from his preaching, thousands come to faith in Christ. And if we go back to Acts 2:9, what we see is these people who came to know Christ were from all nations, all different tongues, all different places, backgrounds, even maybe possibly different ethnicities, but thousands came to faith in Christ. And what happens as this gospel is preached is they formed a community, which we know today as the church. The church. And so the gospel leads to our lives coming together, for us coming to be embodied together as God's people. And so what happens is we form what is called the church. And so at the center of the church, at the center of our ability to connect with one another authentically is the gospel, is Jesus Christ. And it's this gospel that formed the community, but it's also around this gospel that our community forms, that our lives are formed. Because ultimately what we're called to do is be conformed to this gospel. Because Jesus is both Savior and Lord. And as Lord, what it means is he rules over his life, over our lives. And so we see this gospel The Word of God forms the center of this community, and this community forms around it. And in verse 42, what we see is this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." And what's revealed here, I think, is a word we all need. We all need to hear this, is devotion. Because we live in a culture that's committed. What are we committed to? We're committed to being uncommitted. Right? We are literally committed to being uncommitted. And the only thing we're really committed to is something else cooler that may come along. Right? Fear of missing out. Or we're just committed to ourselves, really, in the end. And so in a culture that's really just committed to ourselves, he's calling us, what we see here, Luke, the author, is calling us to devotion. Devotion. And so we're going to look at these four areas of devotion that should cause us. You see, this should lead to us connecting with one another authentically, is what should happen. And so what we see is the first one of these. Just look at the passage. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." Okay, and we're all like, what is that? Right? What is this apostles' teaching? Well, it's compromised of the Old Testament and of Jesus's teachings and how Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. I mean, you look at Peter's sermon and he lays in there references to the Old Testament, and then he talks about how Jesus is the fulfillment. And what it was meant to do is point Jesus, the apostles' teachings, to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we have much of this in the New Testament, right before us, in the Word of God. And so we could simply summarize the apostles' teaching as the gospel, the Word of God revealed. And so we connect with another authentically. We need to realize at the center of our connection, of our devotion, is the gospel, the Word of God. And we're just going to keep coming back to that. You're probably going to get tired of it, but just know, we're going to keep coming back to the gospel and how everything we do, everything we are, our salvation, our eternity, our relationships to God, and even our community depends on the gospel. And so it's at the center of everything in our lives. But one of the things we need to realize is I think we struggle to connect with one another authentically. We struggle to connect with another authentically because ultimately we are gospel and biblically illiterate. We just don't know the kind of relationships we're supposed to have. That the Bible, that God's Word, that the gospel points us to, that He desires for us to have. And we don't know this. And so what we do is we supplement with other things, right? Things we learned as kids in school, right? Or from magazines we read, like I think of one that I could remember. I don't know if it's still around, but 17? Come on, who remembers that magazine as a teenager, right? Like, okay, we're all old, great. But 17, right, was a magazine. And for school, we learn these things. Or maybe we learn about relationships from, like, TV, reality TV, like The Bachelorette, right? Like, we get these information and these things, right? And we take some of these things and we put them in our lives, and not all of it is bad, but some of it is. Some of it is very dangerous. Because it completely contradicts the Bible and the kind of community we're supposed to have. Or, and I think this is just as dangerous and something we see within the Christian culture, is we are biblically literate. We are biblically literate, and we have orthodoxy, which is right understanding. And so we have right understanding when it comes to the gospel, theology, and God's Word. But what happens is our orthodoxy, our right understanding, hasn't led to our orthopraxy. And orthopraxy is the right practices that should arise from orthodoxy. You see, right understanding should lead to right practice, but we don't allow that to happen in our lives. And what happens is we form close-knit communities. We reject those who think differently than us. And we just end up really in a sad place. And both of these show, ultimately, a lack of devotion to God's Word. And I think it's one of the major reasons we struggle to connect with one another authentically is because we don't know the kind of rich beautiful, loving, gracious community that we are supposed to be. And so we just end up hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. I mean, I'm sure many of us have experienced that. We've been burned in the past, but we're just hard-hearted and unwilling to enter into the community because we're unwilling to allow God's word to change and transform us. And so this is you this morning. All I have to say is just repent. Repent of that. You see, is the word of God our authority? And are we gospel-centered people is the question we need to ask. And are we seeking to build the kind of community that we see here? And we'll talk more about this. Because if the word of God, if we are gospel-centered, what it should lead to is this second devotion which we see here, which we're really talking about this morning. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And so this is the second devotion we should have. The gospel leads us to be devoted to fellowship. And what fellowship is to each other. And so the gospel leads us to be devoted to each other. To each other. You see, there's no lone wolf Christianity. We're not supposed to go at it alone. You know, it's not me in the woods by myself with a bow, which is something I read, which was one of those Facebook quotes this week, right? Or me rolling out of bed and it being really convenient for me to just click on the TV and watch the live stream. Right? And I want to say that was a great tool for really irregular, historic, and unprecedented time. But the Bible provides room for irregularities, but the regular practice of the church is together. You see, we don't go it alone. And it's not about me and my preferences. This isn't some sort of country club where I pay the dues and I get my privileges and my desires met. You see, we don't come here because I like the worship, right? Now, I think the worship was fairly good this morning, and so, but it's not about that. I like the worship, or I wish the worship could be this way or that. I don't know why I have a lot of worship stuff in here. But I feel like a lot of what our culture and personal preferences is about worship or the midweek program. Gosh, I wish you had that midweek program, or I want that. Or I want this guy who's up there to just preach shorter sermons. You know, and we have all these sort of desires and preferences. I wish the pastor could grow as sweet as a beard as the worship guy. Right? Like, things like that, anyway. But we are to be devoted to each other. And a simple biblical application of wanting to connect with one another authentically is that we just show up. We just show up. Church literally means assembly. It literally means gathering God's people together. And sadly, we have allowed these personal preferences, the idea of me and my, to kind of infiltrate our experience of the church. Because in the modern church, sadly in our culture, we see a lack of regular attendance. This is a stark. An average regular attender in the U.S. is someone who attends or shows up once a month. So if you average that together, it's 12 times a year. And if we just put this in perspective, I think there are many of us who will watch more football games this year than the average attender will attend church. Not all of us, but I'm just saying that. And I think for those of us who live in that, and I want to show you grace and love in that, but for those of us who may be living in that, I just, there's no wonder why we lack authentic relationships with each other, why we lack the ability to connect with one another authentically, is because we lack devotion to each other. And I just want to encourage you, because I know that can come off as heavy, but I want to love you in this. Because Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and I love this, because the thing most closely connected to encouraging in this passage is meeting together. And so listen to Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let's hold fast to the gospel. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And it says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. And then the first thing he says right after that, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What we see is your presence, our presence together, is an encouragement. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to each other. Your presence matters. And it's a joy. It's a joy to see your faces. It's a joy to welcome new people here today. And so I just want to say, I'm glad you're here. I'm just glad you're here. And just know if you're gone and you receive a text that says, hey, we missed you, it's because we do, because your presence matters. You matter. And so for us, if we're going to connect with one another authentically, we just got to show up. And for many of us, this is the first step we need to take. And of course, there are exceptions. Of course, there is grace. Of course, there is love. But if you're gone, we miss you. You're a part of the body, the family of God. And so this should be the exception, not the rule, because we are the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And so God stinking loves us, and he loves us as we meet together. And so if we connect with one another authentically, we are devoted to each other. And this shows as we show up and as we practice one another. Okay, that sounds weird, right? It sounds weird, one another. For some of us, that makes sense, but if you've never heard that before, it's weird. But over 59 times in the Bible, there's this call to one another, one another. And so we can easily gloss over those when we're reading. But listen to these. Listen to these as I just say these in order. Love one another. Be at peace with each other. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment to one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Have equal concern for each other. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burden. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Encourage each other. And this kind of one anothering, this kind of encouragement, this kind of love can only develop and occur as we connect with one another authentically. And so, are you devoted? Do you show up? Are you seeking to one another others? And those are just a few of the things we need to wrestle with as we think about it, because it's my deep desire that we would be this kind of church, this kind of beautiful picture of the church. And so I'm almost pleading with you, like, let's do this. Let's love one another. Let's one another one another. Let's show up and be devoted to one another. And so we are devoted to fellowship. And then look back at the passage. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. And this is a simple, everyday rhythm and act of life. I assume that most of you eat about 3 times a day, if not more. You know, we may grab a few snacks or so. But in other words, we are to be devoted, if we think about this simple act, we are to be devoted to sharing the simple, everyday rhythms and acts of life together. You see, people put a lot of hope in the event, in the retreat, in the conference, in the one-time production in order to draw us closer, somehow spiritually awaken us, right? And there's moments for that. Those things aren't bad. But the way we really come to know each other and ultimately God, which we're going to talk about next week more and grow, but the way in which we connect with one another authentically and ultimately grow the most is by just living life together in the everyday rhythms, in the everyday acts of life, by sharing a meal. And this means we invite people into our everyday, but it also means we enter in to people's everyday. You see, and in this, it's kind of scary for us because we're used to seeing each other's best, especially on social media, right? Like, oh, great vacation. Look at how awesome my kids are, right? And there is opportunities for that as we come together in the everyday to see each other at our best. And what we should do is encourage one another. But there's also opportunities for us to see each other at our worst. You know, you can't hide behind the social media when you see your kids just throwing a tantrum and you're like, I don't know what to do with them. Right? Like, who's been there? I've been there. And it's okay. And what we do in those moments is we encourage one another. We love one another. And for some of those things, we need to look over them. Right? We need to just kind of bear the, like, man, that's, you're just annoying me right now, right? Or bugging me. We need to bear some of those things. You know, I had a buddy who chewed with his mouth open. Right? Drove me crazy. We'd be in, like, meetings, and I'm like, just close your mouth. Right? It drove me crazy. But it just came to this moment. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. And so I just had to get over it. And now, whenever I hang out with him, and he's chewing with his mouth open, I'm just like, man, I just love you. You know, like, it's just you. And it kind of endears me to him whenever he does it. And so I know that I had to look over some things in his life that just bugged me because it was just me. And I know for him, I'm almost certain of this, and I know some of you have to deal with this. You have to overlook some of the things in my life as well, right? And so we walk in that in humility. But they're also sometimes lovingly where we need to exhort. And I put lovingly there because it needs to come out of a place of love. And we need this because what does sin want to do? Sin wants to kill us. Sin wants to kill us. It wants to see you dead. And so because we love each other, we're called to intervene in each other's lives, to save each other from kind of the turmoil, or don't go down that path because it's just going to kill you. You know, we plead with our brothers and sisters in Christ because that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. He came down to intervene on our behalf. And so we enter in, we invite people in to see the best and the worst of us. And here's the thing, it's not easy. Gosh, it's not easy. And it's often hard. You think of that analogy. What I love what Christians say is, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? And mostly we think about the transfer of information in that. Like, we're going to get really nitty-gritty in the Bible. But the thing we really need to get nitty-gritty in and is in Word and how we apply that to our lives. Right? And sometimes sparks fly when you're sharpening iron against iron. And that doesn't mean we need to get angry and upset, but we need to, in love and humility, go towards one another in that. And here's the thing, it's hard because we're a bunch of weirdos. Right? Like Brandon said last week, we're just a bunch of weirdos. If you think you're normal, you're weird, okay? Just get over that. You're not normal. None of us are normal. And we have our idiosyncrasies. And we have our sin, but we also have ways in which we can encourage one another and ways in which we have been gifted that blesses one another. And so we share life together to encourage, to grow each other. But this only comes as we connect with one another authentically and allow people into our lives. And here's the other thing. I just want to say this because I know this. Because some of us are wondering, because maybe we're in that place where we don't know how to start. And I would say show up, but here's the other place we start. And so I want you to turn to the person next to you. Just look at them for a second. And now I want you to ask them, what's the deepest, darkest secret of your life? Right? That's where we got to start. No! No! And it's okay if you're that guy. I love you. No, I do, but it doesn't start there. You see, it starts with entering into the everyday. But we've all met that guy who's like, I want to like pull your heart out and watch it beat. I want to know every, right? And that scares the crud out of us. It does. And it needs to get there eventually, but building trust, welcoming and loving one another is how we get there. Asking simple questions. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you enjoy? What's your favorite color? And we start there. We all got to start there. And I love people who are like, but I want the deep relationship. And I say, that takes time. But you've got to be able to love people in the mundane, in the simple, in the sharing meals together in order to get there. And just a great way to build relationships is a meal, to sit down and have a meal together, a coffee. And we can't stay superficial. Like, we can't stay there if we're going to connect with one another authentically. But it can begin there. And it's got to go deeper. Someone has to know our deepest, darkest. Right? Someone has got to know our most, our greatest wishes and desires. And this can't be everyone. But there needs to be someone. There needs to be someone. And that's why God has given us a body. Because some of us will connect with each other more, and others of us will be able to speak truth into that, and others of us will be able to love that. That's why we're here. And so I just want to say this one more time. It takes time and trust and love and authenticity and ultimately the gospel for us to be in these kind of relationships. And so we connect with one another as we enter and share in everyday rhythms and acts of life together. And then verse 42 again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. We're devoted to praying. And this has kind of two aspects to it in the devotion thing. First, we're devoted to interceding for each other, right? Lifting up each other's needs and desires to the Lord. And what better way to build intimacy than to pray for each other? Right? Because we get to go intercede on each other's behalf. We get to go before the throne of God on each other's behalf. And that's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. And so we stand before God on behalf of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we pray. And we pray. And we pray, which ultimately shows a second devotion, which is that we are dependent on God. We're dependent on God. You see, we're completely dependent on Him for our salvation, for our relationship with Him, for our community. And so we need Him to help us connect with one another authentically. And we desperately need that, especially in today's culture where we're just so, so disconnected. And we see the need for it, and I hope we have the longing for it. We were created for it. And then what we see after this is we see the response. The response is this community connects with one another authentically by being devoted the apostles' teaching, the gospel, the word of God, to fellowship each other, to breaking bread, sharing life, and prayer, intervening on each other's behalf and dependence on God. And what we see in verse 43 is awesome. It's awesome. Look at this. And awe. Right? We lose that word awesome a little too much. This is the coolest thing ever, right? Like, this is awesome. Like, let that just, like, get the juices flowing a little bit. This is awesome. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awesome. Wonders and signs, miraculous things were happening in their midst. Come on, that's cool, right? And just thinking about this is awesome. Puts a big dumb smile on my face. Like, this is so cool. And this passage could be dangerous because some could over-accentuate the lesser miracles. But we can't over-accentuate God's greatest miracle. Like, we can't not do this.
His greatest miracle, which is salvation. That's awesome, right? Salvation. Jesus died on the cross so that dead people, we were dead. Right? You and I are dead in our sin. And Jesus died on the cross so that us dead people could have life. I mean, if you saw a dead person come back to life, you'd be like, that's crazy. I don't know how to deal with that. Freaks me out a little bit. And it's kind of awesome, right? Right? Well, that's what Jesus does in our lives. Dead people brought to life, and that's incredible. And the most incredible of God's works, and we should stand in awe of it, that he has done this for us. And it doesn't end at salvation. Because God continues to work in our lives through sanctification. Right? He's purifying, he's perfecting, he's bringing us to eternity. And it's also worthy of our awe. And so God worked. God is working in your life, and as we connect with one another authentically, we get to share in that. I get to be like, how awesome that God has done this in your life and that in your life, and look at how he's changing and transforming you. This is stinking awesome. And so we get to share and encourage each other in his work that only God can do. It's not us who does the miracle. It's not our power. It's his. And so we stand in awe of what he's doing and has done and all these things and of the future hope that we have. And it's awesome in the truest sense we could ever give to that word. And so connecting with one another authentically should result in us standing in awe of God's work in each other's lives. And we should encourage each other in that. Because how many of us hear encouragement from this world? Right? How many of us walk into our jobs and our boss is like, hey, great job on that spreadsheet today. And you're like, yeah, so what? You know what I mean? But how many of us hear that? Not many of us, right? Not many of us hear even that. But how much more encouraging is this to hear that God is at work in your life? Like, I see how much of a servant you are. I see how good you are with the violin. You know, how talented you are at just loving people, greeting people, serving people. God has gifted you in this way. Many of us don't know how God has gifted us because we haven't just jumped into community and just tried it all. And that's where we find how God is at work in our lives, is in community, as people pointed out. And so we should jump into community, and as a community, we need to be the most encouraging people to see the evidences of God's grace in each other's lives. And we need to point them out because they won't know it unless you tell them. And so connecting with God, with one another authentically should result in us standing in awe of God's work and encouraging each other in that work. And then verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were all together and had all things in common. And this might be confusing at first, but this isn't uniformity. Okay, that's a cult, all right, where we all look the same, dress the same, are the same. Because one of the analogies the Bible uses for the church is body. Now, just imagine a body that was just made up of arms. It'd be weird, right? Like, it'd be like a horror show almost. Well, the same would be true of the church if it was made up of a bunch of Calebs. We'd be like, this is Twilight Zone, right? This is weird. Because the body would just be weird. And if it's like the arm thing, we'd all be slapping each other because I know how much I would drive myself crazy. And so I just have to say thank you to y'all for your grace. Okay? But there's a diversity within the church of personalities, of giftings, of struggles, of experiences, sin, of ages, of male and female. But they had all things in common. You see, and if we combine this with verse 45, we see a greater picture of this. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. Now, they didn't sell everything they had, but they were meeting each other's needs. And so they shared, and they gave generously to each other.
You see, connecting with one another authentically entails we will share and be generous with each other. And that comes at a cost. That comes at a cost to us. And again, it's not about me. It's not about my personal preferences. What I can get out of this, what I can get out of you. But it's about each other and how I can serve you. And how we can serve each other. And that's what Jesus came to do. He's the king. He's the king who came down, and he could have demanded that we bowed before him and just served him. Because that's what we should be doing. But he didn't. What did he come to do? He came to serve. See, and he even says that I came not to be served, but to serve. And that's most evident in the fact that he came to die on the cross for our sins. See, again, we come back to the gospel, and so we see Christ is a model of our generous giving. And we're called to imitate him. And so the church is where Christ in me meets Christ in you. And so in the face of our diversity and differences, it's Christ that all of us have in common. It's Christ that creates us, the gospel. And it's Christ that binds, unites, and connects us together. And yet this incredible picture we even see here in the Bible of God's church connected and united to one another by the gospel is threatened. In chapter 4, we'll see persecution comes. In chapter 5, we'll see corruption. And in chapter 6, we'll see distraction. And these things served as a threat to their unity, to their connection to one another. And how much have we experienced this in the last year and a half? You know, I love to use this illustration when talking kind of about this topic about open-handed issue and closed-fisted issues, right? Closed-fisted issues are like the gospel. Jesus dying on the cross, yet we can't let that one go, right? But there are open-handed issues, things we can hold loosely. Music, you know, unless, of course, it's heretic. You know, the color of the carpet, we don't have any power over that here, but churches have been split over the color of the carpet. Pastors having beards or being clean-shaven. Like, we're kind of like, that's ridiculous. But there's also things like end times, which we hold a little bit tighter, but we can still hold loosely because there's orthodoxy in multiple views. But these were the things that used to divide the church, but recently we have faced just kind of an outpouring of new issues that have threatened to divide the church. And some have even divided the church, whether to meet or not meet during the pandemic, to wear a mask or no mask. And just think about the election. Man, was that not a whirlwind, right? Like, at least in our culture. I mean, like, who enjoyed that, right? And who's still enjoying that? It's just, like, crazy what is happening there. And politics. And an issue now that presently could threaten the unity of the church, I think that is kind of coming to a head, is the issue of vaccine or no vaccine. I think this is one we face now. It's a real hot topic. I think some of us are like, whoa, that's bold that you can talk about that. Well, we've just got to enter into it. And so here's where I go. It's because the enemy would love nothing more than for us to be divided. He would love nothing more than for us to be divided. And for this to bring disunity to the church or to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's the things I want to say. You have more in common than you think if you're really staunch on this issue. Because both sides can be scared. One of the effects of the virus, the other is the effect of the shot. Both sides can be judgmental. If you don't get the vaccine, you're an uneducated conspiracy theorist. Right? We've heard that one out there. But if you do get vaccinated, you're a mindless sheep just following the masses. See, both sides can be judgmental. Both sides can be legalistic, adding to the word of God and commands of God, where it's not appropriate, or even biblical. Both sides can try to bind each other's conscience, where it isn't appropriate or biblical to bind one's conscience. See, I'm not going to bind your conscience on whether or not to get the vaccine. You need to consider that. And I would say there is a lot of misinformation out there, but you need to consider that. Because it's not like I'm going to tell this Jaden right here to marry Hope back there. That would be weird if I told you that. That would be weird and strange if I started commanding people to get married. That's what cults do, right? I can't bind that on your guys' conscience, just so you know. I can't do that. I can't tell you that you have to marry someone. But if you're cheating on your spouse, I can put that on your conscience, because the Bible is very clear about that. That is sin, and you need to stop. And what we see is both sides can fall into the rhetoric of our day. You see, there are things, and here are kind of three tiers of understanding. There are things that are clearly laid out in the Bible of what we should and should not do. Cheat on our wives or husbands. Steal. Right? Murder. Marry an unbeliever, etc. These things the Bible speaks against. There's also another layer of things that we need to be wise and discerning, such as the wives or husbands we do pick to marry. Choosing our friends, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. We need to be wise and discerning. And then there are things that are just trivial, right? Just trivial things. Whether or not I should eat a burrito or a sandwich for lunch, right? Those are just trivial. And sometimes it's here that we get stuck because we think if we don't do such and such an action, we will miss out on God's plan for our lives. Like, oh man, I missed the girl of my dreams because I took a left turn instead of a right turn at that one stoplight. That's crazy, okay? We don't need to live that way. And that's not the way God calls us to live. He calls us to live and to trust Him and His Word and to trust His sovereignty because He is good. Because He is good. And so is this a close-handed or open-handed issue? Is this a close-handed or open-handed issue? Because the enemy would love nothing more or nothing else than for us to be divided and to resort to tribalism, where it's you versus me. We're all like, all right, let's get it on, right? That's how many of us feel about this, and we rage against one another. And this is what the enemy wants. And this is the warning that God gave to Cain. Right? If you know Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, Cain, before he went out to meet his brother, before Cain went out and rejected and raged and showed his dominance over his brother and killed him, God said this: if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So I would say, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Is there a seed of disunity? You need to ask why. Why is it there? Because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so we must not let sin and kind of the rhetoric of our day and age, politics, to cause disunity in our hearts and in our community. Because we must be united by the gospel. That's the thing that's at the center of all of this, is the gospel. Listen to Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Just listen to these words. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, do you have any encouragement in Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? You've got encouragement. If you're even thinking about it, you've been encouraged. If Jesus even intrigues you, you've been encouraged. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, if you call Him Lord and Savior, you've been encouragement. Any comfort from love,
any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Paul says this, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Be united. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Let us be a people who are humble. Count others more significant than yourselves. Are we counting our brothers more significant than ourselves? Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. This is such a hairy topic because there's so many different things that need to be considered. And have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to tell us that he was humble and he died to himself for us. And so are we willing to be humble and die to ourselves for our brothers and sisters in Christ? And so we graciously share and give. We give up our time, our efforts, our resources even, for each other. And sometimes we need to give up things that may lead to division. So we graciously walk with one another. And then verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And together, just hear that over again. Together, 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 all in common, right? And we see here the context for connecting with one another authentically. You say they gathered together as a whole in the temple in one location. And this is why we have Sunday morning service. We connect with another authentically as we devote ourselves, as we are now, to preaching the apostles' teaching, right? To fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper and prayer. But this isn't the only context that we see here. And if we're looking to connect with one another authentically, we can't just rely on Sunday mornings. There needs to be more. Because as we see, it's life lived together. And we observe this in this passage. They gathered together scattered. So they were together scattered in homes, multiple locations. And so we want to facilitate this, to begin this, to train in this. And this is why our core expression for connect with one another authentically is community groups, where we meet in homes. We meet in homes where generally for an hour, sometimes it goes longer, we study the word and pray and fellowship. And generally another hour is a meal of just sharing life together. There's no agenda in that time. It's just to share life together in fellowship. And this is a place to be together, to see each other at our best and worst sometimes. And we need this. Because if we just look generationally especially, we need to train people in what it looks like to be in community. We just do. And we need to continue to be trained into it. What it looks like to be in community, a diverse community of different ages, right? Multi-generational, intergenerational. God has given us that because it's beautiful. And I think it's awesome. Experiences, struggles, backgrounds, and etc. It's just beautiful to be together, to see how God can bring a diverse group of people together in his gospel. And so connecting with one another authentically should lead us to doing life together. And so we want to facilitate that through community groups. And then verse 47, we see here they praising God. And I'll just say this simply, we talked about that last week with worship. The worship of God. And so you can go back and listen to that. Because otherwise I've got another hour before me. And I don't think you all want that. And then we see verse 47 again. So worshiping, praising God. And what we see is as they connect with one another authentically, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, we're supposed to be a picture of heaven here on earth. What that looks like is we're a family. We're an eternal family. It's a crazy thing to think about. And we're connected by something more than genetic makeup, than the blood that we inherited from our father and mother. We're connected by the blood of Christ. God died and spilled his blood that we could be here together. And so we are to be a family. A family, and we are to be a picture of heaven here on earth. And it's not always pretty, I know that. But it is beautiful. Because ultimately what we'll see in that as we connect with one another authentically is God's work in our lives and each other's lives. And what ultimately happens is our world, which, as we've talked about, just they long for it, they need it. I mean, they were created for it. As we connect with one another authentically, it serves as a witness to a watching world. You see, the gospel created us. The gospel unites us. And the gospel is what we strive for as a community, as we connect with one another authentically. Listen to these words from Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, that we are united, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So this is who we are as a people. We are the church, and we are to connect with one another authentically. And so if you are finding that difficult to connect with this community authentically, just come and talk to me. Talk to someone who's sitting around with you. We would love to help you see what that looks like more and more. And for those of us who are here and call the River Church home, we shouldn't be waiting for the invite. We should be entering into their lives and pursuing them as well. We should be the most welcoming, loving, encouraging, authentic people they've ever engaged with. And so we are to connect with one another authentically. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. And Lord, we just need this. We need this, Lord God. We need community. You have made us for this, and yet so often in our culture and in our world and even in our own minds and lives, we think that we can go at it alone. We can't do this alone. And it's so evident in the cross because we needed you to come and die on the cross for our sins. We couldn't do it alone. And you still, we are in a place where we can't do it alone, where we need brothers and sisters in Christ who walk alongside us to continue to point us to Christ and our need for him. And so, Lord God, in this, I pray that we would be the most welcoming. I've said that often. Welcoming, loving community who's seeking to connect with one another authentically, to enter into the deep, dark places, but also to encourage each other in our greatest desires and wants, which ultimately should be Christ. So I just pray that you, God, we pray, I intercede, God, on behalf of our church, that you would make us a church that connects with one another authentically. In Jesus' name, amen.